Europe acknowledges the traditional owners of the land this podcast was recorded on. We pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging, and extend this to all First Nations people. Hello, and welcome to AREP's podcast, Sustainable Forces, a podcast about people joining forces for the planet. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle Dickinson. I'm an engineer and science communicator bringing stories of sustainable development to you. To create real climate action, we need a breakthrough, both in how we work together globally and how we make clean technologies accessible, affordable, and attractive. This is the purpose of the Breakthrough Agenda, launched at the 2021 United Nations Climate Change Conference in Glasgow. An international collaboration framework to strengthen climate action backed by 45 world leaders representing 70% of the world's GDP. In 2023, at the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Dubai, the agenda launched a new focus priority called the Buildings Breakthrough, a call to make near-zero emission resilient buildings the new normal by 2030. Meeting in Paris this March, the agenda came together with industry at the Buildings and Climate Global Forum to foster collaboration, where they invited over 70 governments to endorse a common declaration for building decarbonisation. So, what happened in that meeting in Paris, and what does the Buildings Breakthrough Agenda mean for countries across the globe? My guests today are the longtime collaborators Christina Gamboa, CEO at the World Green Building Council, and Nigel Tonks, AREP Sustainable Development Director, both of whom were at the forum in Paris. They will help us to break down what the Breakthrough Agenda is and explain how the power of collaboration is helping to create a cleaner global building sector. This is such an important and uplifting episode around how partnership can create real change. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So, Christina, welcome to our podcast. Where are you joining us from today?
Thank you, Michelle. So I'm joining you from London, from the UK.
Amazing. And Nigel, where are you joining us from today?
I'm also in London, just up the road from Christina, actually, at the moment.
Okay, so we have two of you in London and myself in New Zealand. Couldn't be further away from each other, but I'm glad we're here today. Christina, let's start with you then. Can you tell us a little bit about the World Green Building Council and what you do there?
Sure thing. Thank you so much. So the World Green Building Council, or World GBC, as we say for short, is the largest and most influential network leading the sustainable transition to decarbonized and resilient built environments. And that's already a long sentence, Michelle. But basically, what we do is leverage a network that has 80 green building councils, over 80 green building councils around the world, and there are 46,000 members to connect ambition with action, global with local, and policy with implementation to get those goals of decarbonization and resiliency over the line.
Incredible. Amazing. And Nigel, just as an introduction, can you tell us about your role at AREP? What do you do there?
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. I'm the Sustainable Development Director at AREP, and my role over the past several years has been supporting our business here in the UK, Middle East, India, and Africa on a transformational journey to place sustainable development at the heart of everything that we do. And one of my personal passions is systems change and whole-scale decarbonisation of buildings and the building industry. And I'm the sponsor of AREP's Whole Life Carbon Transformation Programme.
Amazing. We will dig into that a little bit deeper. But today we're going to be talking about an initiative that was unveiled at the United Nations Climate Change Conference held in Dubai last year, which was called the Buildings Breakthrough. So, Nigel, you were present at the recent Buildings and Climate Global Forum in Paris. Can you explain what the Buildings Breakthrough is all about?
Yes, certainly. We were both very much there. The Buildings Breakthrough, launched at COP28, is an international agreement to make near zero and resilient buildings the new normal by 2030. to understand what the breakthrough is, you have to go back a couple of years. Ahead of COP26 held in Glasgow, the UK government launched something called the Breakthrough Agenda. And that was a new initiative which asked, what can countries do together to accelerate hard-to-abate sectors? And back in 21, it consisted of five sector breakthroughs, including steel, transport, and hydrogen. And then last year, at COP28, two new breakthroughs were added to that program. The buildings breakthrough, led by France and the Kingdom of Morocco, and the cement breakthrough, led by Canada and the UAE. And what these things are, so the building breakthrough, 28 countries, so covering a third of the global population, were signatories to the building breakthrough. And they included Australia and China and the US, the European Commission and the UK. So some really substantial coverage, as well as countries in Africa, South America. And it's really significant because buildings account for 37% of the energy-related carbon emissions. And the gap is widening between our emissions today and where we need to be to halve emissions by 2030. And over 100 countries have no building energy regulations. So this is part of what makes it a hard-to-abate sector. So under this buildings breakthrough, these signatories countries, they will come together with industry to collaborate on priority initiatives aimed at accelerating decarbonisation of the built environment. And if I just briefly mention those priorities, they include harmonising international standards, aggregating demand signals, mobilising finance, aligning research priorities, and strengthening international capacity building with a real focus on building energy codes.
Crikey, there's a lot to go on there. We will dig into those much deeper very soon. But Christina, you were also there at the forum in Paris. Can you tell us a little bit about what your highlights were? And can you talk also about the Déclaration du Chaillot that also occurred there?
Excellent. Yeah, and I want to build up so that Nigel just described is a great agenda to finally have in a sector that hasn't had a strong connection in terms of the global agenda for decarbonization. So having this momentum was great to go, as you say, Michelle, into Paris, into this global forum. So what happened there? The French government, essentially, And I'm really grateful for their leadership. They facilitated a forum to come together and keep the momentum of that announcement of the buildings breakthrough in Dubai last year. And so you have to really remind yourself that this is just 3-4 months after a COP to go into, let's try to keep up a big political dialogue and see how can we galvanize more governments into this agenda beyond that, you know, initiative of the buildings breakthrough. And for me, it was a wonderful experience because with Nigel and others, we've campaigned so hard in this space for many years. And getting to a point where we saw high-level representatives be there in the discussion side by side by governments that were kind of not active in this agenda was really, really powerful. And so from my side at World GBC, let's say we had the opportunity again, and we're very humbled and privileged to be in have the opportunity to lead in terms of let's get some sessions together that can clarify what's this agenda about and empower people to explain that they have a big role in this momentum that is happening. So for one, building on what Nigel said, we had a session on that idea of let's harmonize. No, that sounds huge, but let's harmonize those standards to achieve whole life carbon and resilient building goals. And it was very interesting because there was a lot of collaboration. Our ICS, the International Code Council, stepped up. We heard representatives from national governments like the French and the Japanese that were, for example, in that session that we were, curating for the UN and for the French government, that the current state of building code standards and assessment frameworks can, of course, continue to bring clarity for this to be unlocked at a greater scale. And so as we spoke about that, it's excellent because we're now acting on recommendations that have been, let's say, asked by the IEA, the High-Level Climate Champions, which put that report on the breakthrough agenda, Michelle. So the breakthrough agenda is bringing clarity on what those sectors have to do. And in the building space, from the harmonization of standards, the IEA is asking us to upgrade or work with government so they can upgrade their definitions of what is near zero and resilient buildings. That will bring clarity of concept for the private sector to continue to invest in better quality assets that's desperately needed, that signal of an enabling policy environment. So it's there in the agenda. And also that governments want to align frameworks for whole life carbon assessments, collect data, and define what's resiliency also. That's a big topic and that's a new one. But of course, that declaration that you said expanded in a way like gave a sense of possibility to the breakthrough agenda because 70 countries signed on to it. So even though it's a political agenda, it does seem that we are seeing here a lot of acknowledgement on the importance of accelerating and not continue to talk about it. We're in a podcast. We want to also action all the listeners that this is happening. We're not another talk show where this our partnerships are not around continuing to just do papers. There is really something here happening, building up, that has commitments behind it and the possibility to implement, in reality, decarbonization roadmaps that are out there, advance and promote better standards, and address how to improve skills for this just transition that we want to make happen. So it's what's correct. Even Karen Kufe, the main, let's say, rapporteur of the Energy Performance Buildings Directive, from the an MEP from the European Commission, was on stage and I got to interview him, and he also expressed how the European Union, with their new laws just being passed, bring optimism that this political agenda is bringing this reality of delivering that breakthrough goal to reality.
Thank you. Amazing. And incredible that it was all pulled together only a few months after COP. Now, Nigel, you're both obviously very passionate about this buildings breakthrough. I'm going to admit, not as a buildings person, this is the first time that I've heard of it. And I think that, you know, the public would talk about, you know, if we talked about reducing emissions, we might say, well, let's fly less. Let's talk about airline or transport pollution and emissions. Like, I think the public are aware of lots of things, but how aware do you think the public are of buildings and the emissions that are going on there?
Yeah, I think it's a really great question, and it's one that we ask ourselves a lot. I think the public certainly understand energy and energy efficiency, and I think, you know, insofar as fuel bills and some of the fuel challenges that we've had with some of the recent global crises and so on, I think people understand that aspect of efficiency in buildings. But I don't believe that people are aware of just how significant collectively the built environment is in its contribution to greenhouse gas emissions, energy consumption, carbon emissions from energy consumed in buildings, nor just the scale of energy emissions that come from making buildings, not just running buildings, but making and repairing and at the end of their life demolishing those buildings. There is a huge amount of something called embodied carbon, the carbon emissions that come from the extraction and refinement of materials, of the manufacturing, the assembly of the components. You know, it takes energy to make steel, it takes energy to make all the bits and bobs that go into a building. And, you know, that can be as much as half of the total energy that goes into a building over its lifetime, if you include the operation of the emissions. So that becomes a really significant thing as we get renewable energy and we start to move away from fossil fuels and we get cleaner energy sources. So we make our buildings more efficient, we use those cleaner energy sources, and therefore buildings will have a lower impact, but still making the buildings and repairing and refreshing those over their lifetime will consume energy and emit substantial amounts of carbon into the atmosphere. So we've got to look at the whole carbon impact of buildings. And I think, you know, some of this stuff sounds a bit scientific and technical, and I think, you know, people enjoy buildings because it's where it hosts their lives. It's where they're entertained, it's where they rest, it's where they do their work. They don't necessarily see the technical perspectives of buildings, perhaps in the way that somebody might with a car. You know, looking at the performance characteristics of a car before they buy the car. We're less familiar with that.
Interesting. I wonder, you know, if we buy a washing machine, it has like a number of stars on it. I wonder, hopefully one day, maybe we've got a house or an office that has, you know, stars that we understand. Okay, Christina, I'm going to move through to you. Now, the World Green Building Council has so many programs and commitments that support the delivery of the building's breakthrough. Things like the net zero carbon commitment and the building life. Can you talk to us about some of those, please?
Yes, of course, but I will connect them, you know, with what you were saying. How do we bring stars and understanding, and why is WorldGBC doing all those programs and what do they need? So I think we're on the journey with it, as we like saying, if governments are on a journey to bring clarity to what is near zero emissions and resilient buildings, if the public grasps the attention of the possibility of as the all-electric cars that move us places into the proof of concept where the buildings can actually improve their livelihoods, secure their energy security, get us off gas, go into an all-electric clean future that also improves our indoor air quality, then it kind of all makes sense. And I think that's what we're championing. So in that space, let's say right now, maybe two key programs for this conversation. So one is, for example, Building Life. Building Life is a WorldGBC program that has been, let's say, taken forward by 12 green building councils in Europe. And this program has mainstreamed whole life carbon in Europe. We've managed to increase awareness, bring over 1,500 stakeholders in the conversation. And now we're having a moment where we have the clarity of what needs to happen from a policy standpoint to bring clarity to industry and policy that whole life carbon reduction can be accelerated. So how do we do that? Basically, by the big win in the Energy Performance Buildings Directive, that you have there the stars, the minimum energy performance requirements in the law will be required. GBCs will be working with their national governments to have toolkits to make them and roll them out. So you will see stars and will be able to get things clear. You will be able to also find no financial incentives for standalone fossil fuels by 2025, meaning so this is happening and it will be the future is all electric. And that the whole life carbon reporting is mandatory as of 2030, and all new buildings must meet the new standard of zero emissions by 2030 in Europe. That's huge. That is a great pillar. And so the Buildings Life program, let's say, achieved that conversation. And we had ambassadors, campaigns, and everything, but this is the work of 4 years, Michelle, what we're talking today in this podcast or more. So the other point is a commitment, the net zero carbon buildings commitment from WorldGBC, which ARUP has also been a key champion. It promotes leadership. We have 180 signatories that committed to advancing the goals in a progressive way and whole life carbon aspect by 2030. So beyond the initial targets. And they're showing mainstream climate action. And in terms of how can we have, let's say, that tackling of operational emissions, reduce the upfront emissions, but also make sure that we bring alignment and help others understand, like governments, that businesses are ready to act, bring confidence that they continue to do more like the EPBD in Europe, and continue to drive this conversation, international conversation, to seed opportunities for the better. And of course, there has to be some enablers. Sustainable finance, we have a program around it, which is, I think it's growing in impact because we need deep understanding to drive local impact. And we need to stop the funds that go into the sector to go to the wrong solar advances and go to the better buildings. Money is going. We need to clarify and work with the sustainable finance industry. And finally, we need also, of course, with this programs that we're rolling out, what we're doing is impacting it. Let's say that strategy of alignment of tools, definitions, roadmaps, so policy can do its job. And we continue to work in a coordinated fashion to move the system forward.
Amazing. I feel like you're just steamrolling everything and everybody has got this beautiful pathway to just align and follow. I'm getting exciting with you, Christina. Nigel, though, I'm going to move.
I think whoever is not acting is because I don't know where they're looking. Yeah. This is one of the biggest changes in the industry in years. It's a huge opportunity.
It's incredible what you are doing. And Nigel, you have also been working on this for a long time. So can you talk to us a little bit about the ways that you and both Arup have been supporting the buildings breakthrough?
One of the ways is, perhaps we'll illustrate that, is by working really closely with partners like the World GBC and also our other global strategic partners like C40 Cities, the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, the Global Alliance for Buildings and Construction, and the Climate Champions team. Actually, perhaps if I could just share a short story about my journey working with Christine and just winding it back a bit to the year that COP26 was postponed due to the global pandemic. And in that gap year, for me, in many ways, was really quite a seminal turning point. It was around that time that Arup joined the Race to Zero campaign, making our corporate commitment to net zero. And I was working closely with World GBC. I'd been introduced to Christina and her fabulous team through my work with the Climate Champions and the Building to COP Coalition, which is an incredible coalition of NGOs bringing together these global organizations like World GBC into to coordinate and clarify some of the messaging and the narrative in this really complex space. You know, I've been working in this area for 30 years, but this is really very, very, very complex space. So I was working with Christina's team to help formulate the net zero building commitment, which we ultimately joined. And it's a unique commitment. Signatories commit to making their own real estate net zero, not just energy efficiency improvements and renewable energy purchases, but also reductions in embodied carbon emissions, halving the emissions that I mentioned earlier associated with making buildings. And working on this, it gave me two surprising facts. One, that there's very little data, and there's very few tools and barely any mature sort of methodology and standards for the assessment of tracking whole life carbon emissions from buildings. So, you know, on the principle that you can't manage what you don't measure, we are not measuring. How can we manage? And then the other one was, whole life carbon emissions of the buildings we designed, which were not part, they are not part of our requirements to report our corporate commitment to net zero. But the buildings that we design are more than 100 times more impactful than our corporate footprint. So it's through our designs that we as engineers can make the most substantial impact to climate action. And that led Arup to making a commitment at COP26 when it did happen the following year in 2021, made a commitment to assess whole life carbon for all our building design work to get at this data so that we can start managing it. And that's the transformation program I've been leading, part of leading with Arup. And so over the last 2 years, we've built this data collection platform. We call it Zero. And we've captured whole life carbon from our design work, built up a data set of over 1,000 buildings on more than 30 countries around the world. But to come back to your question, so this whole life carbon campaign and working with the World GBC, our partnership together with the Climate Champions and World Business Council for Sustainable Development, these are the things that have brought us really close to the building breakthrough priority actions and, you know, specifically harmonising standards, advancing research and trying to build up industry capability.
Amazing. We're moving to the power of partnership, which is a big part of this podcast. We can all do things alone, but I think we're much more powerful when we collaborate with strong partners. And so this podcast celebrates the power of partnership to create sustainable development outcomes. And I feel like this whole conversation that we've already had today is such a great example of how, you know, we can convince leaders of countries, governments, organizations, private sector to all come together to actually progress a huge sector transition in the building sector that is not only fair and effective, but also it's happening so quickly. I'm so impressed with how rapid it's becoming. I'd love to talk a little bit about partnership and collaboration and what it means to both of you. So Christina, I would like to start. Nigel talked about how you two first met. So can you tell me what it means to you to work with partners like Arup and with Nigel?
Thank you. I mean, at some point at COP26, the then high-level climate champion Nigel Topping. There's two Nigel T's. It was so confusing. Oh my goodness. There was two Nigels in this space. So Nigel Topping, you know, we ended up COP26 having a reception and he ended up doing a beautiful speech saying that, and I've thought about it a lot since he said it, that he saw in World GBC and my work servant leadership. So it means it is a partnership where we elevate each other, where we see the power of that collaboration and practice, where it's actually not around how you're going to look. It's actually working everything that you need to do, campaign as hard as you can, to make sure you elevate all boats in the same fashion, because there's no way we can be successful if an NGO like World GBC to be successful, it really needs to have the wind behind its wings, you know, to from Arup, that is being the leader, the doer, the thought leader that is also willing to partner with us to trickle this down in every geography where World GBC works, which is, you know, working in 80 countries means that you have to have empathy, you have to have solidarity, and you have to also be generous, because there's no way we can elevate and improve people's lives around the world without being empathic to the differences, the cultural differences. And the other part has been, for me, it's been that sort of demonstration of exceptional, the design thinking, exceptional ways of enabling us to go into places where we can have our voice heard and it's meaningful. And those sort of exemplar practices can really help us win the battle of opening the doors of this government conversation that we're having today. So for me, it goes, you know, from being in this moment where we're living around the world, what it's really around, how can we make more with less? Make sure that we are driving a maximizing benefit, but with the maximization of environmental protection, and making sure that we don't lose the values of being together in the same journey. Because we can be together and ambitious and loud, but it's so nice when we come from the same angle and the same values and voice. And that's what I found the partnership so valuable.
Incredible. So from partnerships, let's talk a little bit about collaboration. Nigel, how important do you think opportunities like the Buildings and Climate Forum are for creating change? Especially when, you know, most of us think that forums are, as Christina said, just talk fests. How do we get collaboration to actually be change fest? How to get people to move and take action?
Well, I have to say, just to go back to Christina's point for a minute, it has been inspirational working with Christina and her team, and really understanding, you know, the
this perspective of servant leadership and elevating all boats and having an openness to, you know, having an openness to work with others. I was trained as an architectural engineer, so I was trained to collaborate with professionals to design buildings. And after 35 years, I'm learning really new dimensions to collaboration and partnership. Deep collaboration is something, one of our calls to action. And it goes, you know, as the name implies, it somehow goes even further. And I think it's key to this large-scale systemic change that we're trying to achieve. You know, decarbonizing buildings, one or two showcase buildings at a time, is not going to get us where we need to be fast enough. 2 years ago, less than 5% of our projects had whole life carbon assessments, and now, after a massive collaborative effort involving over 400 experts in 30 different countries, it's closer to 80%. So this kind of step change can only happen with some of the deep collaboration that we're talking about. And, you know, working alongside the World Green Building Council and their affiliate Green National Green Building Councils, our other global stakeholders, this introduces us to a really broad spectrum of stakeholders that we can join forces with to tackle these challenges. And it is working in these bigger collaborations that enables us, it's precisely that, it enables us to work more closely with national governments, because governments see that, you know, it's not just a private industry lobbying for change or, you know, marketing its, you know, services or product, but it is this collaborative, broad, wide stakeholder effort where there are lots of voices calling for action, policy, standardization, harmonization of standards, and you know, it needs that to be able to interface at a national sort of policy level. So, you know, in Paris, there was a fabulous opportunity to work, to meet, you know, other professionals from different parts of the value chain, or regional and city leaders, ministers. You can really connect with a very, very broad spectrum. And that way you're starting to have a dialogue which can really start to shift things.
And Christina, do you agree with that? Talk about collaboration from your perspective around the forum. Do you think it's having this diversity, all these different types of people coming together, that actually helps to create global change?
Totally, because I think we're the business, I believe, of change management, because we've seen for many decades a lot of inertia, a lot of low productivity in the building sector, innovation overall in some multinational organizations, but not widespread out. So in order to bring people with us, we also need to bring confidence that we are the business of creating opportunity, not for the few that are in the room, but making sure that this trickles down to opportunities to reskilling, even the people that are going to be retrofitting buildings, that we also help with capacity buildings to cities, for example, with our good friends at C40, that government procurement also changes, that they are trained. Public servants are also trained or receive the information. So it's so huge. We have so many stakeholders around that we need to be, let's say, changing their mindsets into envisioning that this is totally positive. And it will create more quality green jobs, more opportunity, more prosperity. And that as we change from better specification, production of materials, making a transparent declarations on carbon and their qualities and their whole life cycle, making sure that the construction sites are clean, making sure that the designers are doing their best, that when we operate buildings, we're making the most of all the digitalization trends that are out there. There's no excuse why you're not tracking the information and making honest disclosures and building up the huge momentum from corporates and their goals on zero this is, everyone has an asset. So this is, it's, it kind of has this, this sense of big challenge, but with cooperation, it's a doable opportunity to carry forward.
We love big challenges on this podcast. And as we talk about collaboration and bringing more people onto the team to help solve some of these problems. Look, you've both given us so many great insights today about the importance of partnership and collaboration, as well as the importance of setting and measuring specific objectives that will help us to decarbonize the building sector. So how to bring on more collaborators? There will be lots of people listening today who have their aha moment, and now they want to support the building's breakthrough. They want to drive sustainable outcomes in their own organizations, in their own communities. So I'm after a little piece of advice on how or where they should get started. Nigel, I'm going to start with you. What is your one top tip for somebody to join you?
One top tip. So, somebody recently said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I think to go far, to do this at the scale that we need it to happen at, we've got to lean in and collaborate with the widest group of stakeholders. No organization, anybody listening from wherever you're positioned in the value chain, it's not possible to make the kind of scale of action without the collaboration of others. So, yes, you can join the race to zero to get your house in order. Yes, you can use your resources to innovate your services and your product. But we need to invest in joining forces with a bigger ecosystem outside our organizational footprint to tackle these problems on a bigger stage. And that will scale up our influence and our impact. National governments on their own will not be able to deliver net zero in the built environment by 2030. It needs all of the real economy to step up with them and lead the change. So things like the Building Breakthrough creates this platform creates a place and an agenda for these collaborations to take place. So my tip is, invest time. And that does mean money. Invest time with working with, your national green building councils, the World Green Building Council, other of these fantastic sort of large representative membership bodies that help us bridge between, our day-to-day world and the policy action at a government level. And, the value of doing this, as we see at AMAP, is it's reflected right back into your organization through the amazing relationships that you build with Christina and her team and the wider Buildings COP Coalition, through the knowledge and the capability that we build for ourselves. And, perhaps the last thing to say is it really lights up our members with ambition to drive change.
Very good. And Christina, that final question for you. What's your one top tip that you could share with our listeners who want to get on board?
So Nigel already said, look out for the local Green Building Council. So that's good. That's a check. I mean, they are the ones who are working with the big groups of all the stakeholders in different jurisdictions to operationalize this and continue to champion it in a contextualized way. But I would say the other one is be curious, sign up to newsletters, get our information, going to the World GPC website, sign up to our monthly global update, sign up to the, you can look in that Building to COP website too when we get rolling for the next campaigning for Baku and getting ready for Belém. We have updates there. World GPC has a campaign that runs in September called World Green Building Week. And we're, again, continuing to build the transition this year, leveraging and getting curious on how could the sustainable finance community help us decarbonize. We're not alone. There's many people that want us to be successful. So I would say that stay curious, get on reading and get informed, because there is a lot of things that as regulation changes, if you're on top of your mark and getting let's say, your house in order, of your company, investing in the right side assets if you're an investor. If you're a student reskilling for the green economy and the clean fossil fuel world, then you're ahead of all the changes and you will thrive in opportunity. If you continue in the inertia of the conservative way of doing business or thinking in the sector, you're possibly going to be, let's say, in a few years, a little bit outdated by the innovators and the people that are really making a positive impact. So I would say, stand up, be heard. And one thing you could do today, electrify your kitchen. You can be a clean cook in your home every day, and that will help the planet.
Incredible. I feel like there was something for everybody there. So there's no excuse for anybody listening at home. Get involved. There's so much there for us. And look, I just want to celebrate, number one, your passion. Thank you. I think your passion is infectious. It's contagious. I'm now more excited. I'm going to subscribe to newsletters. I feel like, you know, you are championing your cause and it's really working. And I hope these conversations help the public to think more about, you know, not just their cars and their plane rides, but also their buildings. And we can raise more awareness to this. Sadly, though, that is all we have time for today. So Nigel and Christina, thank you so much for sharing all of your stories, your expertise and your insights and your incredible passion in this space.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love contagious passion, and I think you will all agree that Christina and Nigel are both incredible evangelists for us all when it comes to thinking about how we can all collaborate for a more sustainable built environment. If you want to dive deeper into some of the topics that we talked about today, there are links in our show notes. Sadly, though, this is our last episode for season two. It's been an incredible privilege to speak with all of our guests this season. We've cycled through the mountains in Chile with the World Wildlife Fund, found out more about the green economy, learned some French with C40 Cities, prioritized data with CREM for decarbonization, celebrated 50 years of the Sydney Opera House, sustainably traveled the bustling city streets of Indonesia, and gained an inside view into just one of the climate change breakthroughs from COP28. If you like this season, don't forget to leave us a review. We'll be back with another season soon, so don't forget to subscribe to Sustainable Forces on your favorite streaming service.